afternoon, and thank you all parties for standing by. Your lines will be on a listen-only until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. The call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. We will have a brief survey after the question-and-answer session today. Please stay on the line. It will take less than 1 minute to complete the survey. And I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Sheila Wiener, Patient Services Director with the National Kidney Foundation. Thank you, ma'am. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining the National Kidney Foundation's People Like Us Coffee House Conversations telephone series. We hope that today's call, Travel on Dialysis, will give you the information you need to help make your summer vacation plans worry-free. Let's get started right away now with a warm welcome to our first presenter, Norma Knowles. Norma is a member of the National Kidney Foundation's Patient and Family Council, Executive Committee, and Council of Nephrology Social Workers. And Norma is a clinical social worker who's worked in nephrology for 10 years. Norma's family has had a long history of kidney disease due to hereditary FSGS. Having experienced several treatment modalities for kidney failure, Norma had a living-related transplant in 1998 and is now on home hemodialysis. Norma is a strong advocate for promoting patients' quality of life. Welcome, Norma, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Sheila. When patients start dialysis, one of the most common misconceptions that they have is that they will no longer be able to travel and do the things that they enjoy, or that they'll be tied to this machine or this clinic. In reality, patients are able to travel, and it's encouraged in order to help them maintain their quality of life, and in some cases, their jobs if business travel is required. When patients travel to receive dialysis at another clinic, it's sometimes referred to as transient dialysis. People on all types of dialysis can take business trips, weekend trips, camp, travel overseas, and even take dialysis cruises. However, there is a process to setting up dialysis treatments when you travel, so it's important to work with your social worker in advance to allow them time to help you make the arrangements that you need. Before you look for a clinic, you need to know the dates you're traveling, how you're traveling, whether it's by phone, plane or car or a train, and what dates you need. If you're making flight arrangements, it's best to do your flying and traveling on your non-dialysis days and to not make your reservations until the facility agrees to accept you. If you travel by car, plan how long it will take you to get there, and if you plan to sightsee or visit family on the way in case you need to schedule a treatment along the way. One of the best resources for locating clinics is Medicare.gov. When you get to this main site at the bottom, you can click under the search tools and look under Compare Dialysis Facilities in your area. You can choose the area or city where you're going, and it'll list all the clinics that are Medicare certified throughout the U.S. and U.S. territories. Patients are encouraged to find the clinic that best meets their needs, make contact to see if space is available, and then work with their social worker to get the needed medical records sent. This way, the patient can make sure that the schedule and location of the clinic will meet the needs of their traveling arrangements. If a patient doesn't have internet access, lots of times I'll print off the list for them so that they can see which clinics are available and choose which ones best fit into their plans. When you contact the clinics, be prepared to provide your name and contact information, including your phone, destination address, and your local contact phone, and your preferred treatment dates and times. It's important to remember that some clinics may not have the space on the shift and dates that you desire. If you're Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you may have to go to Tuesday, Thursday schedule at the new clinic. And some may not have space at all. You may have to try another clinic just a little bit further away. Once a clinic has been contacted and they say that they have space, they need many medical records in order to confirm the travel dialysis appointment. Some of the records that they require are demographics, address, phone, Social Security, date of birth, copies of your insurance cards or pre-authorization from your insurance if it's a group insurance, the medical evidence report from Medicare, a copy of a history and physical from your previous year, your list of medications that you take at home in the clinic, an EKG, a chest x-ray. Some clinics require a negative TPD, which is a tuberculosis test, and your progress notes, and some lab results, including a hepatitis B antigen. some of these are required within 30 days of your travel. So you may have to have some labs drawn before you go, which takes a few extra days. The clinics ask for these records to make sure that they're able to treat you and that you're not at risk for having any difficulty while you're traveling, and that they have the appropriate accommodations, especially if you require an isolation room. For this reason, it's always best to give at least 30 days' notice for travel to ensure that the clinic you want is available and that there's ample time to send the records that they need. Like I mentioned before, some of the lab tests may need to be run and will require a few extra days. If you're traveling in a touristy area or during a holiday time, more notice is better to ensure that you have the clinic available closest to your travel destination. And some clinics have a lot of traveling patients may require 30-day notice or refuse you if thus is given. Before you leave for your trip, be sure to get the contact information and treatment schedule for your trip and confirm that nothing has changed prior to your departure. If you're a home patient, although you may not need to make arrangements for treatment at a facility while you're traveling, it's always best to contact a local clinic who is willing and able to be a backup for you in case you encounter difficulties during your travel and need assistance. Depending on your treatment and the length of your vacation, you can take your home dialysis supplies with you or in some cases have them shipped to your destination. When doing this, it's always best to contact the hotel where you'll be staying and let them know that there will be medical supplies delivered for you. And Mary Beth may speak more to this, but it's important to double check that you have all your supplies with you before you leave. On my first travel, which was over Thanksgiving, I forgot to pack my IV pole, which hung all of my dialysate. I was able to improvise with some metal over the door hangers from a local hardware store, but some problems are not so easy to resolve. Some patients are concerned with the cost of travel. It's important to remember that Medicare covers 80% of all dialysis charges anywhere in the U.S. and in U.S. territories, such as Puerto Rico. However, state Medicaid programs will not cover the 20% outside of their state. So patients with Medicaid as a secondary will have to be prepared to pay the copay. Other group insurances have limits as well, and some will require prior authorization prior to receiving treatment at a different facility. The advance notice for travel will allow that clinic to verify your insurance coverage and get those needed authorizations. If patients are interested in traveling internationally, another resource available is globaldialysis.com. Recently, this link wasn't working, but it is now, and you can enter information where you're going and find international dialysis clinics around the globe. It's important to remember that Medicare will not cover dialysis outside of the U.S. However, some employer group and private health insurances, including the VA, may cover some of these dialysis expenses. It's important to work directly with your insurance to find out what's covered and the guidelines for submitting charges. One suggestion I recently received from another social worker for those patients who wish to travel abroad but do not want to pay out of pocket for dialysis charges was to consider Puerto Rico. He stated that Puerto Rico is a semi-tropical island with outstanding beaches where they speak a foreign language and the food is quite different and actually on the dialysis menu many of times, and the best part is that Medicare will pay for it. The social worker recently helped a patient arrange dialysis there, and it was no more complicated than arranging a transient treatment stateside. Some patients express concern about going to a new clinic with different staff, and they're just unsure about trusting their care to strangers. I've encouraged patients to talk directly with the staff in the transient clinic and to ask questions to help alleviate their concerns, such as, do you use lidocaine if I need it? Do you use the buttonhole technique? Or can I cannulate myself if I do this at my own clinic? It's important that you feel comfortable with the people who take care of you. And there are very good clinics around the world who will do that and allow you to have some of the freedom and independence that you thought you lost. Thank you for listening.
Oh, Norma, thank you very much. Now let's welcome our second presenter, Mary Beth Pentasulia. Mary Beth, a National Kidney Foundation volunteer and member of our Patient and Family Council Executive Committee also, comes to us with multiple areas of expertise. Currently, Mary Beth is employed as a grants officer for the Corporation for National and Community Service, an organization that supports volunteers and communities across the country. She received her first successful transplant in 1997 and in-center hemodialysis from 2001 to 2004. Since 2005, Mary Beth has been on 6-day-a-week nocturnal treatments. Welcome, Mary Beth.
Thank you, Sheila. Hello, everyone. Yes, I've been on home hemodialysis since 2005, and during that time, I have been employed consistently. My first job since 2004 has been as a recruiter. During this job, I traveled quite frequently. I traveled more with day trips and regional trips, and I learned quite a bit about organizing my supplies and communicating with airlines and Amtrak to ensure that I was able to transport my supplies where I needed. The first item of organizational support that I used was a spreadsheet. It lists all of the supplies that I need for my trip, and I'm able to change the number of days in the spreadsheet so it will adequately calculate the amount of supplies I need. Now, you may not have something as sophisticated as that. A piece of paper with a list of your supplies is perfectly A-OK, and I use it on many occasions when I don't have my spreadsheet handy. But I find that having a list of supplies that I can use to determine what I need to bring with me, I don't have to automatically think about it, and it limits the amount of times that I've forgotten supplies or don't have enough of say, my buttonhole needles handy. And the next item that I have is a checklist of everything that I need to do to ensure that my supplies arrive on time and that I don't have any surprise charges. There have been many times that I've checked into a hotel forgetting to ask ahead of time if they charge for my supplies to be handled, for literally for the hotel to accept my supplies. So I have a list of questions such as that. And these are questions you should ask also when traveling and staying at a hotel. Does the hotel charge for handling supplies? If you're taking a plane to your destination, it's always best to call ahead of time and talk with a customer representative to find out if there's any specific phrases or words that you'll need to know when talking to the customer service at the airport so that they will not charge you for transporting your equipment. I know many times I have arrived at the airport and I've had to argue with the customer service representatives that my medical supplies are part of an accommodation and should not be charged for excess baggage. I also keep a copy of the Code of Federal Regulations for medical accommodation that you can receive from various government websites and to show the customer service representative that my dialysis machine is part of accommodation. When I was a recruiter, there was many times that I would have to travel to various multiple locations, and I couldn't bring my dialysis machine. So, and it's okay to not bring, when you're on home dialysis, it's okay to not always travel with your home dialysis machine. I find that a lot of times I travel by myself and I just don't want the hassle, or I want a mini vacation. For instance, this last month I traveled to Lake Tahoe in San Francisco, and I, instead of bringing my dialysis machine, I contacted my dialysis social worker and she was able to arrange in-center dialysis. Now, I use buttonhole needles. I still needed to get my handy-dandy list out and see what supplies I would need to bring. I always bring extra Band-Aids with me in case there's an issue with my fistula. But I always bring a supply of buttonhole needles. I try to call ahead of time and make sure that they're going to have my needles, but you never want to get there and, you know, maybe they ran out or maybe, you know, whoever you talked to really didn't have the answer. So I try to take responsibility and bring my own buttonholes. I also make sure that the center ahead of time will tell me if they require their nurses or technicians to cannulate the buttonhole or if I'm able to do it. I prefer to do it myself since I created the buttonhole. The other tip that I have for everyone is also related to supplies. When traveling with my home dialysis machine and staying at a hotel, it's always good to bring your own garbage bags, mailing labels, tape to tape up any of the boxes if you're going to ship back some supplies to your home destination. And it's also a good idea if you're shipping your supplies to put a pair of scissors or a box cutter in that box. If you're traveling by airplane or train, I suggest not putting scissors in your bag because of increased security, but perhaps calling ahead and seeing if you are unable to ship the scissors ahead of time, calling the hotel to see if they have a pair that you could borrow. Additionally, I found that many times it's hard to ship my scale because of just the pure size and the weight. I've found that many hotels will have scales available in their exercise room, and it's good to call ahead of time to see if they have a scale available. Now, my family lives about 3 hours away from me, and I do a lot of weekend trips. Weekend trips are easier for individuals on home dialysis with NxStage because you can put your machine in the car and just go. NxStage typically will not ship dialysate if you are leaving for 3 days or less. So it's during these trips that I have to bring my own dialysate with me. But it's pretty easy to go on a weekend trip. And given that a trip by airplane to a farther destination may not be something that you're interested in or it may seem too cumbersome for you, a weekend trip is a wonderful thing to do. Like I said, I do this quite frequently, and I use my organizational chart to make sure I have all my supplies with me. I put my machine in the car, and I just drive to where I have to go. In a couple of weeks, I'll be going camping, and we have a cabin reserved. I have all of my supplies already laid out, and I have a couple of extra clean sheets that I'll put down over the tables to make sure that my dialysis supplies stay clean and that I stay safe and secure. So it just takes a lot of extra planning whether you're going on a long-term trip or you're going on a weekend jaunt up to the woods. You can do it with your home dialysis machine. You can even do it if you're on in-center. As Norma said, you just need to plan ahead at least 30 days, and hopefully you can get into the most convenient center of your choice.
Thanks very much, Mary Beth. You certainly are an experienced traveler. And now I'd like to extend a warm welcome to Dr. Karen Yates, our third and final speaker. Dr. Yates has trained in both internal medicine and nephrology and has a master's in public health degree from Harvard. She is currently a staff nephrologist and assistant professor in the Department of Medicine at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. Dr. Yates has traveled as the attending nephrologist on more than 10 dialysis cruises and is medical director of Dialysis at Sea. Welcome, Dr. Yates.
Thank you, Sheila. Welcome, everyone. So I guess a lot of the things I was going to say have already been said, but I'll try to think specifically about things that would are important to me as a physician and what I would want all of my patients to know if they were traveling. I think travel is a really important a thing to do if you can, if you are healthy enough and if you have the means to do it. I think it really can improve a person's quality of life, and I think it has very positive benefits for dialysis patients and for their families who travel with them. A change of scenery just for a weekend, as Mary Beth said, can be an extremely good thing. And I've certainly traveled with patients, both my own patients who've cruised on cruises that they knew I was going on, one to the Caribbean with one of my favorite patients and one to Alaska. And I've seen the changes in them when they get out of their own center and into a new environment. And certainly I've had their families tell me how important it was for them. I can't stress enough how important it is to plan ahead. I think our other two amazing speakers today have already let you know how important that can be. But even from a medical perspective, I think planning ahead, having your dates of when you plan to leave, and speaking to both your nurses, your primary nurse, or to your own nephrologist, or even your general practitioner, about whether they feel that you are fit to travel. Of course, you're going to have medical clearance to go. Many centers, every center, and I know through dialysis cruise company that I've been involved with, I know they require history and a physical. But they also if there's concerns about your health, they may require that they have a more updated version of your current health status. For example, if you've recently been admitted to hospital and that and the history and physical was sent relating to a recent admission, they may want the physician or nurse on the other end or whoever's helping with the travel plans may require that they have assurances that you are indeed well enough to travel. Likewise, you need to be sure that your access is working. So if you have a line, you need to be free of infection. If you have a fistula, it needs to be working well. If it's not working well, you should plan ahead and have an intervention done, and be sure after the intervention that you had enough time will pass to know that the access is indeed working. Same thing for a graft. I think it's very important that those things are in place. For example, if you get onto a cruise ship and you're doing dialysis on the ship, or for instance, if you're in another country outside of the U.S. and you need to have some sort of intervention done on your access, or your access is not working, you'll have to be disembarked from the cruise ship, and your vacation is essentially over unless you can find someone to intervene on your access that day, because most of the time the ships are in port for only one day. And if you're in Europe or Australia or somewhere else, it could be a very daunting experience to try to get into that medical system and have your access repaired. It may be that they try to temporarily stabilize you through the use of the line, and then they send you back to the U.S., and all of these things would be a horrible way to have your vacation end. And the same is true for your own health. So if you've had any recent acute illnesses, you need to be absolutely sure that those things have resolved. You need to travel. I think it's if you're traveling with medication, which most patients will be, you need to travel. Make sure you have enough medication to last for the trip. For dialysis cruises, you need to bring your own EPO, so your own Procrit or whatever you're on. You need to perhaps travel with a letter. I always recommend that to all of my patients, that a letter that explains what medications you will be traveling with and why, especially if you're traveling with needles. Likewise for your equipment as well. Mary Beth spoke a little bit to that, but it can be very useful to have some sort of a documentation there that's somewhat official that can oftentimes help you in circumstances where people are asking questions. Also, when you go on vacation, you're going to probably, unless you're absolutely the most compliant patient in the world, which I don't think anybody can be who's human, you're probably going to be eating a lot more food and drinking a lot more liquid. These things can sneak up on you as well. a resort. So say you go down to the Caribbean and you're staying in a resort and you go to do dialysis at a unit in the next town, which I've had patients do that in Jamaica, for instance, or in St. Lucia. The resort, an all-inclusive resort, will have food everywhere. From the time they put breakfast out and take it away, they've got more food put in its place. And on a cruise ship, there's food available 24/7. And food that tends to be high in potassium and phosphate. And, of course, I have had patients get into trouble with either too much, they come in very, very heavy and are short of breath, or they've had too much potassium. And we've had to do emergency dialysis on several cruises. It doesn't happen often, but I think that with patients being even hypervigilant, it can help because of the amount of food that's available. The other thing I can't stress enough is the importance of being sure that you're at your destination. Now, this is not really related to dialysis per se, but if you do require a scooter or a wheelchair or some sort of ambulatory aid, even a walker, you have to ensure that you can travel with it so that the airlines can help, can bring it for you. You can get it onto a train. And I know for people who cruise, there are companies out there that will arrange for a wheelchair or a scooter to be delivered to the ship, actually directly to your to the room for you, so you don't have to bring your own with you. Having whatever, and be aware that you may not need a wheelchair or a scooter when you're at home, just going through your daily routines. But on a very large ship, or in a resort, or on vacation in Europe, this is something that after several days of traveling, you may find that you require, whether you like it or not. It could really help to make your vacation easier and easier on your loved ones who are there caring for you and helping to get you out to all the places you want to see. Likewise, always make sure if you are using a wheelchair or a scooter that, or even a walker, that you're in a hotel room that's big enough and that you've called ahead to ensure when you're booking that room or when your travel agent is booking your accommodation that that is something that's accounted for. Cruise ships have about 1 to 2% of their rooms that are made as wheelchair accessible. You need to ensure that you're in one of those rooms. And if you can't get one on that ship, then you need to book a different cruise because it would make the rooms are very small and would be almost impossible for you to have a good vacation if that wasn't accounted for. You wouldn't be able to get into the bathroom or the shower. Other things to think about are that if you get into a medical emergency that's either related or unrelated to your dialysis, it's good maybe to look ahead to where the nearest medical facility is that you may want to use. So if you're dialyzing as a traveling patient at another unit in the United States and you're going to be in a large city like LA, well, then it's pretty straightforward. But if you are on a Caribbean island or you're somewhere in Europe, it's always good to kind of look ahead, go on the internet, look at maps, look at the city maps, and sort out where is the largest hospital that's based as a university academic health center or that's a tertiary or care hospital that you would be safe to go to, where you could get dialysis if needed, or where you could get any kind of a higher level care, as opposed to a small district or community hospital. Always travel with a list of your medications. That can be quite important when you're unable to answer for yourself. And I know Mary Beth already mentioned it. I think it's a great idea to bring your own needles with you if you do buttonholes. I think that they probably will be available at your final destination and on the cruise ship, but I think that it's important to bring the needles that you normally use just in case. And lastly, I'd like to point out that I think that you need to be cognizant of the vacation that your caregivers, partners, you know, and loved ones are having when they travel with you. And if you do already have, say you have someone coming into your home to help with some basic activities of daily living, perhaps helping you to bathe each day or helping you to get dressed or with other similar types of activities. Well, when you travel, you're not going to have that available to you. And if your partner or the other family members that are traveling with you are not accustomed to doing those kind of activities each day to help you get up and go, I think it's really important that either you plan ahead and have them aware of what your needs are, or plan ahead and have maybe a buddy system where someone else in the family who you're comfortable with can assist your loved one to help them to have a good vacation as well, so that they're not overwhelmed perhaps with some helping you get up and out of bed and on to your vacation each day. I think that's pretty much everything I wanted to say. Sheila wanted me to point out the companies that I knew of that do dialysis cruises. There's one that obviously that I'm affiliated with, which is Dialysis at Sea, which is an American company, and their website is www.dialysisatsea.com. There is a company in Europe which is affiliated with Costa Cruises, and they are at www.dialysiswildcruising.com. Those are the only two I know of in the world, and I just did another Google search today and looked through all my usual ways to find out more information about dialysis vacations. The websites can, not for these two companies, but the websites about dialysis travel, I think Norma and I talked about this on a previous call, but I think they can be quite confusing, and sometimes they're actually made by patients who are putting information there for other patients. Sometimes, though, it's not updated, or actually the company or the organization that first made the website is now no longer in business. So it's always good to have a look, but call the numbers that are there and ensure that what you're looking at is actually available to you before you make big plans. Most of these companies, I know with the dialysis cruises, both I'm pretty sure you have to book your entire trip through them, so that they're aware of all of your aspects of your travel. So you're purchasing the dialysis treatments for them, and they have a set number that are required during your itinerary, and then you also purchase the cruise travel from them. That's typically how they work. It would get too complicated to book the cruise with one company and the dialysis with another. So I think that's probably why they do it that way. And as Norma said, many of the private insurance companies will be able to reimburse part of the dialysis treatment cost. And the VA, as far as I know, up until just recently has been. But most of the costs have to be paid up front by the patient and then reimbursed later. And I guess it'll also depend on you getting pre-authorization from your insurance company. That's about all I have to say.
Thanks very much, Dr. Yates. And thank you again to Norma and Mary Beth. You've all provided us with a wealth of information to help us all enjoy our summer vacations. Let's begin our question and answer session now.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch tone phone. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment for the first question. And our first question today will be from Alice Brown. Your line is open.
Yes, I was wondering what the buttonhole technique is, what buttonhole needles are.
Hi, Alice. Thank you for your question. Who would like to, Mary Beth, would you like to respond to Alice's question?
Sure. The buttonhole technique is when you use a blunt needle instead of the normal sharp dialysis needles. And you've created it's essentially like an earring hole, but it's on your, of course, on your fistula. And you access your fistula in the same location every time. And your dialysis center, your nurse actually, your primary nurse will help you to develop your buttonhole. Some dialysis centers do not use this method. My center does, and I don't know if the doctor has a more scientific way of explaining it than that.
No, you did a pretty good job. It's essentially that. And not every center does use them. Not every nephrologist is comfortable with them, but they tend to be most common patients who do home hemodialysis, either daily, nocturnal, or conventional. And it's essentially you're poking the same area every single time you have treatment, and you're using a blunt needle. So there's a scab that forms over that has to be removed each treatment, typically by the patient.
Oh. And they're only able to do a buttonhole technique with a fistula, not a graft.
Is that right? Go ahead, Norma. Sorry.
That's the way our center has done it.
Yeah.
You know, this is a very interesting topic, and probably we could have – a separate call about types of how to manage a buttonhole, how to get one, the pros and cons. And unfortunately, we wouldn't be able to address all of the issues on this call. But Alice, if you give our 800 number a call, we'd be happy to send you information that we have, the educational materials.
What number is that?
That's 1-800-622-9010. And ask for someone to connect you to someone here on our staff who can talk to you about the buttonhole procedure and also to send you information about it. We'd be happy to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Bob O'Connor. Your line is open.
Yes, thank
Bob.
You. The doctor mentioned earlier Dialysis at Sea was an American company. Now, would their ships be American flagged, which would allow Medicare to pay for dialysis?
Good. That's an excellent question, and patients ask that all the time. So what Dialysis at Sea is they're a private company that is based in Florida, and they have contracts with most cruise lines that, other than Carnival and Princess, they are on every other ship. And what they do is they lease space within the medical infirmary on the ship. They operate as an independent company, and they follow all the same rules that are required for accreditation and licensing that would be expected at a Medicare facility,
right.
Except that they are at sea. So although they follow those rules, they're not bound by them. And all of those ships, which you can imagine, the Royal Caribbean ships, Holland America, Norwegian, all of those are not American ships because of tax reasons. So Medicare has gotten out of having to pay for cruise ship dialysis.
Oh, that's very unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate, and patients complain to me about it all the time, and I feel for them. But that's basically what has happened.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Anna Webb. Your line is open.
Hi. My question was, when you were talking about the Puerto Rico, of course, it's Commonwealth of the United States, and Medicare pays for the treatment, but how about Guam? Aren't they also
yes.
an American?
In any U.S. territory,
okay.
The facilities are Medicare-certified, Medicare will pay.
All right. The other thing, I had a comment in that I traveled in Carnival for a four-day cruise from Cape Canaveral to Nassau, and you can ask the... I guess the restaurant or the people that prepare the food for special diet. If you have a problem, you can ask them for your special diet and also low salt, which I did during the time that I traveled. So that was a big help, and it makes your travel a lot easier. And the difference. I did check into the Dialysis at Sea and found that the treatment was like three times more than we pay in the United States, which made it very, very hard to do. But if you go to like an island, Nassau, St. Croix, whatever, and you find out their treatment prices are much more reasonable, so you can travel and get the treatment when you get there. If you figure out the times and you're scheduled to get there, you know, within the time that you need to have the dialysis. So that was a little bit better because I was kind of disappointed with the Dialysis at Sea being so expensive.
If I could just make a little comment, I think the idea of going to the island, like on the cruise ship, and then arranging ahead of time, say in NASA to have your dialysis, it's a great idea. I've been on 3 out of my 10 cruises where we didn't go to the port we were supposed to go to, one because of Hurricane Otis, one because of another tropical storm, and a third because we couldn't dock because there was something wrong with the pier. So if that was the day that you were scheduled to have dialysis, it could be a bit of a problem. It would cause a lot of anxiety for you. And I'm really glad it worked out for you, but I would personally discourage my patients from trying to arrange for a dialysis in a port. It's fine to fly to NASA and spend a week in NASA or 3 days in NASA and have dialysis there or on any other Caribbean island. And they are cheaper, I agree with you, because they don't actually follow all the Medicare guidelines. They're not they're not certified. So most of them are safe. I've had patients go there, but they don't follow the same procedures and rules around standards. So it doesn't cost them as much to provide the dialysis. And it may be provided by nephrologists who are not board certified. So that's another thing to remember as well. But I think that it's great to use those land-based units. I always encourage my patients to do that and to plan ahead. But I would be wary of planning it from a cruise ship only because I've had the experience of the ships not stopping where they were supposed to stop, or they get there at the wrong time. So they encounter some mechanical difficulty at night, and the ship is maybe basically cruising but not moving while they repair whatever the mechanical problem is. They get to port 6 hours late. You only have 4 hours in port instead of 10 hours. So these are the kind of things that have happened and happened fairly regularly on cruise ships. I've had one of them, it happened to us in Europe as well, in Greece. We didn't stop at one of the islands we were supposed to stop at. And if it was a large island, if that was an island you were getting dialysis on, it could be a problem. So just to be aware of that. But I think your ideas of definitely of using the land-based units is excellent, and they are cheaper. I agree with you.
Right. Well, yeah, flying to them probably would be better than cruising, but Nassau was very...
Yeah, it worked well for you. So that was on your Carnival cruise, and then you got off and had your dialysis there?
Right.
Yeah.
I had dialysis on Friday. On Wednesday before I left, and then I had Thursday. And then when we got there on Friday, I had dialysis there. So
that's great.
And then I had the extra 2 days, which, you have the 2 days.
Your weekend days, and then you had dialysis on Monday at your home unit?
Right.
Yeah, that's great.
So it worked out just fine. But, yeah, I understand when you're traveling a lot further, those other islands are much further away, and if you're cruising, it could be hours before you get there. So.
Yeah, and it just because I know from experience that they don't always follow the exact itinerary.
Yeah, well, I found the dialysis center in Nassau, and I have the name and everything, very competent.
No, I'm sure that, yeah, they all are. And I've as I said, my patients have been, I've had a patient go to Montego Bay, I've had a patient go to Bahamas. I'm not sure if it was NASA. I've had another patient dialyze in St. Lucia. All had great experiences.
And most of them have very nice facilities. I only found like maybe one or two that didn't. So that they're pretty well set up, it seems like.
And they're catering to Americans and Canadians, so they know what people want. And a lot of the newer facilities down there are quite pleasant, definitely.
Anna, thank you very much for your question and for your thoughtful comments. I think also in the United States even we could find different situations and different facilities. I know Mary Beth recently had an experience at a facility out of her home state. Mary Beth, do you want to mention something about that?
Oh, yeah. Recently, I traveled across the country to the West Coast, and I stayed at a dialysis center that, instead of bringing my dialysis machine, I had in-center dialysis, and this dialysis center was amazing. They had massage and heat in the chairs, the Wi-Fi. It was a very pleasant. Needless to say that the center was in a very warm area. And it was everything that I had never experienced before. So I really love traveling because I get to see the other dialysis centers and how they vary.
What a nice surprise.
It was. And it made my time traveling much, it was for work, but it was much more like a vacation. And I got to rest from doing home dialysis by myself.
Yeah, I think I find that more and more of these centers, especially in the tourist areas, are doing that. There's one in Miami that I dialyzed down there a few months back, and they were setting up one where there was spa, total spa treatment while you were dialyzed.
Oh, my God.
I'm hoping to go back in down there and try it.
Yeah. Very nice.
Okay, why don't
take
the next question?
Thank you. The next question will be from Catherine in Saiso. Your line is open.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question.
You're welcome.
My question is, are you obligated to tell an airline what illness you have in order to take a flight across the country or internationally?
Who would like to take that question on our panel?
It's Karen here, Dr. Yates. I don't think you are obligated to tell them. I think the only thing that you're supposed to not to travel with is pregnancy beyond 36 weeks or whatever. But I think they cannot discriminate, or that you're not required to tell them about any medical issue unless you choose to, because it involves some special arrangements or equipment, and it may help your situation. But you're not, I don't think, obligated. I don't know if Norma or Mary Beth would have more information about that.
Well, I'm asking this question a little late because I took my vacation in May to Lourdes, France, and I'm in perfect health and on hemodialysis, so I did not fear taking the flight internationally because I knew I was in good health. And so I took a 10-hour flight from San Francisco to Frankfurt, Germany, and then another 2-hour flight from Frankfurt, Germany to Toulouse, France, and then on to Lourdes, France. And I did my dialysis. I did 2 sessions during the 8 days I was there at a wonderful facility that provided me a bed to lie in during my dialysis. And it was a wonderful setting overlooking the Pyrenees. And then they brought me a croissant and cafe au lait about an hour into my treatment, or an hour and a half or two, something like that. So, you know, I'm a licensed clinical social worker, so by management, I was able to organize everything before I left and had been in communication with this dialysis center for about 9 months before I arrived. And I'll tell you, I had a wonderful time, and I also ate more than I should have, but I didn't have a problem with it. And so I just want you to know that, and the other guests, that traveling can be really, really wonderful. So now I'm looking for someone to sponsor me to travel around. If you have any ideas, I'm open to ideas on what to do about this.
Catherine, you're making me jealous. It sounds like you had a wonderful trip.
I did. I don't know if you know what Lourdes is famous for, but it's a very Catholic setting because of the miracle waters, curing waters, that it's famous for Christians. Well, now for all denominations of people who go there and to look to bathe in the healing waters of Lourdes. And so I'm just feeling very excited. So I'm one of those patients who just, my life has felt so much better, and I'm uplifted because I know I can do things that I didn't think I could do before, or having been on dialysis for the past year and a half. So now you're catching me at a point when I'm very excited and upbeat about things.
That's great.
Travel.
Well, Catherine, you're an inspiration to us all. Thank you for your question and for your comment. We'll take our next question now.
The next question will be from Peggy Thompson. Your line's open.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Good. Well, I have a very unique situation where I am not on dialysis yet. However, my nephrologist told me I probably had about 6 months left. And I am a bank travel club director. So I plan the trips, and then I take all the people on the trips. Like, for instance, September, we're going to be gone 17 days to New Zealand and Australia. And I'm in the situation where I'm trying to decide if I'm going to do PD, if I'm going to do home hemo, or if I'm going to do a living donor. And one of my big questions is, with overseas travel, are the machines, do they take well to using their current converter, you know, to convert from 210 to 110 without messing the machines up? Because that's my job, is to travel.
Yes. good question. I don't know. I don't know if Mary Beth's actually gone out of the country. Have you, Mary Beth?
I have not gone out of the country with my machine because NextStage is not supported outside of the continental United States.
Okay.
So they don't recommend traveling with it because there would be no support if the machine breaks down.
But maybe
that's for NextStage, but for say
that's just for NextStage
for a PD for a peritoneal dialysis cycler. All the companies that make cyclers all are international companies that have offices and branches all over the world. So whichever company you were to go for, if you did PD, you could probably arrange to have two cyclers. You could have one for home and one for travel that has the other voltage. I'm sure that would be possible.
Oh, okay. So you would need to arrange them. Because that's,
yes.
I asked my nephrologist that the other day because she's kind of pushing PD, you know, if we don't.
For your life, it sounds like for your current, what you know, your amount of traveling and stuff that you do, if that's something that you were to continue, I don't know if you'll stay in the same job, but
PD would
be amazing if you could, and PD would probably be easier than, well, it would be more doable than NextStage, because NextStage you can't go to the U.S. and be supported
on
it.
Oh, okay, so hemo's out then.
It would have
so home hemo is pretty much out then.
Unless you used in-center transient dialysis.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't work for me because I'm responsible for all the guests.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I couldn't take myself away from them.
So for you to do PD and have fluid delivered to your destination ahead of time to your different hotels, it'd be a lot of calling, but it's probably doable.
Uh-huh.
And you have either you do CAPD, which is where you do your 4 or 5 exchanges a day, and you don't require any machine at all, or you do the cycler, which is the one at night.
Yeah,
that would probably require two machines for the two main voltages, one that you get in Europe and one that you get here. And then a living donor. I don't know if one's accessible to you, but...
Well, I went through 7 volunteers, and my son is my last hope, but then he got some stuff in his lungs, and we're still waiting for his lungs to be cleared out.
Okay.
So do that in October when I get back.
Okay. So it sounds like either way, it'll be that or a dialysis modality of some choice. But I think for travel, for the amount you plan to do, hemo would be very complicated.
Okay. Okay, so basically, because of my amount of travel, a living donor that works out very well would be the best bet.
Yes.
Okay, because that's what I was trying to decide. Did I want to put him through that, or did I just want to do dialysis?
It's always a personal decision, and your transplant nephrologist will talk to you about all the risks and the benefits, and as they will also to the donor, right? So
well,
that's
we had
important.
It set up already, but then we had to got canceled right at the last minute.
So
we've done all that.
When he's healthy, it sounds like it'll go ahead. That is a better option for you than PD, but it's always a personal choice.
Okay.
It sounds like you're asking all the right questions.
Okay. Well, okay, because I guess just because as a mother.
The first mom who's not wanted to take a kidney from her child, but you're
right.
But many do, and it's all personal. It's all a personal choice.
Right. Okay.
I can't tell you what the right answer is, but
I know.
But I wish you the best of luck with everything.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you're welcome,
Peggy.
And our next question is from Amber Manica. Your line is open.
Hi, Amber.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm actually I'm a professional. I work at the End-Stage Renal Disease Network of New England. I'm the patient services coordinator.
Okay.
So I was just curious because I know that there's I get a lot of phone calls about patients that want to travel outside of the United States, and I know that Medicare won't cover it. I was just curious if there were, like, any programs or anything that, you know, I could do to try to help them be able to get there.
So Medicare won't cover them for dialysis costs or just for you're just talking about general coverage for any kind of medical problems?
Right.
So they would need to buy private insurance for travel. So for dialysis patients, they can purchase, I know for the cruise lines, they can purchase insurance that covers all pre-existing conditions, including end-stage kidney disease. It's not cheap, but it's a requirement of all the patients that I travel with. They have to have it, so they have to be able to get home if they get ill and have coverage in whatever country they're in. So I know dialysis at sea patients who are doing dialysis purchase insurance that's comprehensive, and it takes them anywhere in the world. So it does exist, but it's in addition to any other insurance that they might have.
Okay.
Specifically for the dates that they're traveling, and it will not cover the cost of the dialysis. That's separate.
So because they would have to probably pay out of pocket then.
Yes, and they're, as we were saying at the beginning of the call, their private insurance companies may cover part of it.
But it's dependent on their insurance.
Totally dependent.
Okay.
And even in that sense, they and if it's covered or partially covered, most of it still has to be paid up front by the patient.
And then if it's reimbursed,
then it's reimbursed. Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Does that help a little?
It does. I feel so bad because I have so many people that can't afford to travel outside of the United States. I was just...
Yeah, it's difficult.
It is. But, I mean, that is helpful. And especially the cruise lines, you know, that's... I wrote that down. You said it was dialysiswild.cruise.
There's the one for the Europe one is dialysiswildcruising.com, and the one for the American company is dialysisatsea.com.
Okay, great.
Those are the two I know of that are fully functional right now.
Okay. Okay.
And don't forget the option of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands and the United, you know, that Medicare would pay for travel to those places.
And Hawaii.
Right. I know. I always try to push. I'm like, have you seen Hawaii or like Puerto Rico, you know? So.
Alaska. I know it's a state, but it's not a territory, but it's I've been there twice. It's quite unlike anything else. You know, they do feel like they're on vacation. They see that big grizzly bear walking along beside the bald eagle. You know, it's pretty nice.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amber, thank you for your question. We'll take the next question, please.
As a reminder, if anyone would like to ask a question, please press star 1.
Is that it?
One moment. I don't show any further questions.
Okay, well, if there are no further questions, I would like to conclude today's People Like Us Coffee House Conversations call with a special thank you to all of our call participants. Please take a few minutes to visit our website. That's www.kidney.org/coffeehouse. You can hear a recording of this call, and you can listen to previous calls. Also, you can find information there that you can download or request about all of our Coffee House Conversation calls. We have a new feature on our website, and we'd like to ask you to send us your stories about how a Coffee House Conversation call has affected you and if you've made any changes in your life as a result of what you learned. If you decide to take a trip this summer or even go away for a weekend, please share your stories on www.kidney.org/coffeehouse. You can sign up online for our upcoming Coffee House Conversation calls there as well. Our next call is scheduled for September 15th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's about preparing for a natural disaster or other type of unexpected emergency. Thank you again, and we hope you will join us next time. Have a good night.
Please stand by for the polling session. One moment. Thank you. At this time, we are ready to begin the polling session. There will be 5 questions. After each question is asked, please respond by pressing star, followed by the appropriate digit on your phone. You will hear a tone upon making your selection. Please respond after each question has been read. Question number 1. Did you gain a better understanding of the topic? Star 1, yes. Star 1, star 2, no. Once again, did you gain a better understanding of the topic? Star 1, yes. Star 2, no. Please respond now. Question number 2. Did you understand each panelist's presentation? Star 1, yes. Star 2, no. I will repeat the question. Did you understand each panelist's presentation? Star 1, yes. Star 2, no. Please respond now. Question number 3. Was the call the right amount of time? Star 1, yes. Star 2, no. I will repeat the question. Was the call the right amount of time? Star 1, yes. Star 2, no. Please respond now. Question number 4. Will you tell others to join Coffee House Conversations telephone calls? Star 1, yes. Star 2, no. I will repeat the question. Will you tell others to join Coffee House Conversations telephone calls? Star 1, yes. Star 2, no. Please respond now. And question number 5, was the information personally helpful to you? Star 1, yes. Star 2, no. I will repeat the question. Was the information personally helpful to you? Star 1, yes. Star 2, no. Please respond now. And this concludes the polling session of today's conference. You may disconnect at this time. Thank you.